tonight to read some very familiar scriptures. First one being in Numbers 21. Numbers 21, that's page 205. Verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go round the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have ye brought us out of Egypt that we should die in the wilderness? For there is no bread and no water, and our soul loathes this light bread. Then Jehovah sent fiery serpents among the people, which bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned in that we have spoken against Jehovah and against thee. Pray to Jehovah that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And Jehovah said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten and looketh upon it shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, and he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And then John chapter 3 and verse 14. John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. And then in Isaiah chapter 46, that's page 886, Isaiah 46, and the middle of verse 21, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none besides me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And then finally, in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Let us also, therefore, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, laying aside every weight and every sin which so easily entangles us, run with endurance the race that lies before us, looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith. I remember when I was a youngster, that's quite a few years ago, there used to be lads hanging about on the street corners who didn't have very good intentions, and they'd say, what are you looking at? Then if you've had that experience, what are you looking at? I'd like to ask you that question tonight, but hopefully not in the same tone. I'd like to ask you what you are looking at. But maybe I should say more properly, who are you looking at? As sinners, dear friends, we look at the wrong things and the wrong people. The world is full of men and women who are looking at things which are not helpful, sinful things. And they're looking at people who are not helpful, sinful people. Politicians, film stars, all the rest of them, they're not who they say they are they? These idols, they're but clay. Not worth the look, really. I wonder where you're looking tonight. I remember a preaching by Eddie Hollands. Some of us might remember Eddie Hollands. He gave a preaching in Putney about lifting up your eyes. You know, a man or woman bowed down by sin, yeah, I'm sure you've met them. They've got their eyes on the ground the whole time. They can't look you in the face. They're just bowed down. They have no vision. Tonight, in the preaching of the gospel, we're asking you to lift up your eyes. You know, that story in Genesis 22, when Abraham and Isaac went up the hill together. And there was Abraham about to offer his son as in obedience to God's command. And just at the very critical moment, God says, stop. And then it says afterwards that Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw a ram caught in the thicket. And tonight, that's what I want to do, is to ask you to lift up your eyes to see someone who's been offered as a sacrifice for your sin and for mine. This story in Numbers, it's an interesting one, isn't it? The people had sinned. They were ungrateful and unthankful. They murmured. You may say, well, that doesn't sound very sinful. But they really had rebelled against God. And you know what sin is, dear friend? It's really rebellion against God, isn't it? And you and I have rebelled against God. And God, in judgment, sent these fiery serpents. And it says that some of them died. You know, we're told in the scriptures that the wages of sin is death. You can't get round that, dear friend, tonight, that the wages of sin is death. And so these fiery serpents came, and the people recognised that they had sinned. We have sinned. Well, that's a good start, isn't it, dear friend? Have you ever admitted that before a holy and righteous God? We have sinned. I have sinned. You know, the tax gatherer and the Pharisee, you can read the story that Jesus told. One says, I have sinned. In Luke 15, the young man said, I have sinned. Peter, you know, when he met the Lord, at one point he said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. I wonder if you recognize that for yourself, that you are a sinner. It's not a word that the world likes to hear. If you go out to the front here and preach that all men are sinners, it's not very popular, but God's word tells me that I am a sinner. And these people here realised that. They said, we have sinned. But then they didn't know what to do about it. And maybe tonight you're in the same position. You have sinned. You recognise that you're a sinner, but you don't know what to do about it. So they spoke to Moses. And Moses petition with God. Moses became a mediator. Well, we don't have Moses tonight because he's dead, but I can point you to another mediator, the Lord Jesus, God's beloved Son. And the answer was to take a fiery pole and put a brass serpent on the pole. Something that reflected their sin. And that's wonderful tonight that I can tell you that if you know that you're a sinner and you don't know what to do about it, then there is a remedy. And that's what the gospel is, dear friend. It's a remedy for sin. And therefore, this pole was constructed. And there was a serpent of brass put on the pole, and it was lifted up high. And what does it say? If a serpent had bitten any man, and he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Simple as that. You know, the gospel, dear friend, is simple, isn't it? Just need to look. Not a casual glance. Look at that serpent of brass. The serpent of brass was the one in type that Jesus, it pictures Jesus as the one who has made sin. And I say that with authority because Jesus said it himself, as we read in John 3. As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And tonight, dear friend, I want to point you to a Saviour who's been lifted up and is available for all. It says, whoever looks upon it, live. So it doesn't matter if you were right by the pole or whether you were a long way away. As long as you could see that serpent on the pole and look at it, you've lived. And that's just like the gospel, isn't it? That everyone has the opportunity to look at Jesus. No one is excluded. There's no excuse. You can't hide. You can't say, well, I can't see it. There it's there. You know, the Lord Jesus has been offered as a sacrifice, and it's for all to see. And it's whether question of whether you've looked at the crucified Christ tonight. Have you recognized your sinnership? We have sinned. And then have you looked at the remedy that God has provided in Jesus? You know, the hymn says, there's life in a look at the crucified one. There's life in a look for thee. I wonder tonight, dear friend, whether you have looked at Jesus, the one who was on the cross. Of course, he's not on the cross now, is he? You know, the Catholics have their crosses, and the Lord is still on the cross. I can tell you that he's not on the cross, is he? He's not in the grave. He's not on this earth. He's risen and glorified. And Paul, as we were thinking this afternoon, he saw Jesus. He didn't see him on the cross, but he saw him. He had that look in heaven. Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? He saw Jesus glorified. And tonight, dear friend, I can't point you to anywhere in this world, in this room, on this earth. I can't point you to Jesus because he's in heaven. But you need to exercise faith. And that's how you get blessing. Repentance towards God. That's we have sinned. And faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they might have said, these people, children of Israel, what's the point of just looking at a brass serpent? But that's the way God used it. They had to have faith. They had to look with faith. And if they looked and believed, they were healed. And tonight it's just the same in the glad tidings. Own your sinnership. We have sinned. But then God has provided that remedy in the Lord Jesus, the one who knew no sin, but he became sin. That serpent of brass, that very object, Jesus became a curse for us. You think of that. The holy, spotless Lamb of God became a curse. It says, cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree. Just think of that. My Saviour became a curse in order that you might be forgiven of your sins. And so, dear friend, tonight, repent and believe. You know, this picture in the Old Testament, it actually happened. This isn't a story. This is actual what happened. And the Jesus takes it up and he speaks of his own death. And he speaks of it as being the remedy for sin. And the fact that if you believe on him, you have life eternal. What a prospect. What an invitation in the glad tidings. I read just that verse in Isaiah, verse 22 of chapter 46. Look unto me and be ye saved. You know, one of the greatest English preachers, Spurgeon, was converted by this very verse. I think maybe you know the story, maybe you don't, but where he was going to church, the normal clergyman or pastor or whatever you call him wasn't there that night, and some lay preacher, some member of the congregation was asked to go preach, and he mumbled and fumbled about. He was a very nervous man, but he just kept repeating this, look unto me and be saved. And Spurgeon was soundly converted. You know, thank God it's not the preacher that saves anyone, it's the word of God, isn't it? And this is the appeal here. And he says, there is none beside me. Well, that's a wonderful thing to realise. There's only one Saviour. What does Peter preach? That there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. I can only point you to Jesus. There's only one remedy. Sometimes, you know, when we're ill, there's various remedies, alternate remedies. There's only one remedy for sin, and that's the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. You know, men in the world, they have no idea what God is like. They think he's angry or distant. In the gospel, God is presented as a just God and a Saviour. There's none beside Jesus either. Look unto me, and be ye saved. That would be the cry going out tonight from the desk of every preacher, wouldn't it? Look unto me and be ye saved. Wonderful. Sometimes we use the word saved rather flippantly. But it's a wonderful thing to be saved, isn't it? Saved from your sins. Saved from the judgment to come. Saved from this present evil world. Well, I read in Hebrews. Now this is an appeal to Christians. And you might say, well, this is a gospel preaching. So why am I reading this? But you know, we need to constantly look at Jesus. You may have looked at him initially when you first came to Christ, when you felt the weight of your sin, you said, we have sinned, I have sinned. You've been encouraged to look at Jesus as the only Saviour. Look unto me. But maybe life goes on, but you know, all I'm thinking is in reading this scripture, we need to constantly look at Jesus. It's interesting that the remedy is the same for when you're initially converted or for every day of your life. He is indeed, as many have quoted in the past, an all the way home Saviour. And we have, don't we? If we're honest, we have many weights and sins that easily entangle us. If we're honest with ourselves, honest with the Lord, many weights and sins, but we're encouraged here. The writer encourages us to lay them aside. And what's the remedy? The remedy is the same as for our initial conversion, our initial salvation. It's to look at Jesus. It says here, the leader and completer of faith. It starts with Jesus and it ends with Jesus. He's everything, you know. And we need to continue to look to him. And I like the note in verse 2, looking steadfastly. And if you look at note D, it says, it means looking away from other things and fixing the eye exclusively on one. That's an appeal, isn't it, for each of us as Christians, as believers in Jesus. Look away from other things. As I said at the beginning, you know, where is our eye focused? We get distracted, don't we, by this and that and the other. Especially in the modern world, don't we, of internet. We get distracted. It says, looking away from other things and fixing your eye exclusively on one. Because, as Isaiah says, there is only one Saviour. And therefore the remedy for all our troubles, as even as believers, the remedy is the same as for our initial conversion. To keep looking at Jesus. Because he's the beginning and the end. It says here, the leader and completer. I think the Authorized says the author and the finisher. The author, it started with him and it will end with him. And you need, therefore, if you need to be kept, if you want to be kept in faith, and this is the book of faith, isn't it? If you want to be kept in faith, then you need to be just lay aside the distractions and look exclusively and intently on Jesus. But dear friend, if you're not a believer, then the appeal I would renew to you. Where do you think you're headed? Who are you looking at? What are you looking at? You need to look at him. He's the only one that will save you. He's God's only remedy for sin. There is no alternative remedy. May you tonight, if you haven't already done so, look to Jesus, and as the hymn says, and live. You know, many are existing. There's millions out there who are existing, but they're not living. Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy that you might lay hold of what is really life. And only as you look at Jesus and walk with him will you really understand what it is to really live. Well, the appeal goes out. I trust that everyone here has not only had that initial look and been saved, but they may continue to look at him until he returns. For his name's sake.
Amen. Yeah.